present. Hi, good morning. Today's reading is from the book of Psalms, sort of right in the middle of your Bible. Psalms chapter 140. Psalms 140. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence, who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day. They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from men of violence who plan to trip my feet. Proud men have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path. O Lord, I say to you, you are my God. Hear, O Lord, my cry for mercy. O sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, who shields my head in the day of battle, do not grant the wicked their desires, O Lord. Do not let their plans succeed, or they will become proud. Let the heads of those who surround me be covered with the trouble their lips have caused. Let burning coals fall upon them. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits, never to rise. Let slanderers not be established in the land. May disaster hunt down men of violence. I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live before you. Here ends the reading.
Fell off. I'll figure it out. There you go. All right, kids, come on down. Quite the slew. Okay, you've all seen police officers, right? Maybe on TV or... What do they have on their belts? What kind of stuff do they have on their belts? Yeah. Yeah. What? Chains? I'm not sure about chains. They got a gun? Yeah, what else? Handcuffs, yeah. Okay, what else do they have? Tasers. I've done that. It's like 10 seconds of agony. Okay, what else? You ever see a nightstick? They have a nightstick? Yeah, I get hit by one of those too, and that hurt. What else do they have? Flashlight, yeah, they got a flashlight. Keys. They also have stuff that's called mace or OC. It's a spray. And they spray it on the bad guys. I've had that done to me too, and it's got mucus coming out of every orifice. You know, it's terrible. But what if this stuff doesn't work? What if the taser, he shoots and it misses? And this guy's coming after somebody. He's coming after one of you. What do you do? Ah, mommy, daddy. Well, he's got one thing called a gun, right? You've all seen guns, right? I have a gun. See? You afraid of it?
No.
Look it. It's going to go off. Watch out. It's not going to go off?
No.
You know, if we wouldn't touch that gun in a year, where would that gun be?
Nowhere.
It'd be right here, wouldn't it? This is an inanimate object. It doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there. People say, oh, be afraid of guns. I'm not afraid of that gun. Are you afraid of that gun?
No.
No, it's just a gun. It's just sitting there. But it's the people that have them that you have to be afraid of, right? Because sometimes people, bad people, have guns. So who's going to protect you if somebody with a gun comes into this church? Jesus might. Yep. He might not even let them in. What about your moms and dads? They're here to protect you too, right? But there's a few of us, and I'll call them church security, that are going to be here to protect you too. And that's what we're going to tell everybody about. Psalm 141 says, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence." Because there's men of violence. There's people out there that might want to do us harm. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and how God will hopefully protect us, and some other people are going to be around for that too. Now, I got some treats for you if you want. And these are really special treats. These are not just your regular, ordinary treats. They're special because I used to love Kit Kats. So now you guys can have them. Take one for Mom and Dad, too. And I've got some for... Take some for Mom and Dad. Everybody got one? Really, I want to sweeten everybody up. There's a reason for that. It's probably because I'm preaching. See, if the doctor eats it, then everybody can eat it. See, now I'll set the bar, so Bruce is going to have to do this every Sunday. Eat them now, don't save them. Actually, I've got, if you can't have gluten. There is a reason why I'm doing this, other than just being nice. One is that I got a lot of these. And I can't eat them because I'm diabetic. I'll get to them. Okay, somebody else? Yeah. Kids. Okay, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this is I kind of wanted to sweeten you up a little bit. It's because I've got a hard word to give you. And this way you're kind of, yeah, I'm eating the chocolate and it's good. Maybe it'll be a little bit easier on me. There's a man, his name was Colonel Grossman. He was a Marine, and he was a colonel in the, I think in the Desert Storm. And he wrote a book. It was called On Killing. Kind of a gross name. But it was a very good book, and I saw him at a seminar he gave, and he was quite a demonstrative guy. He'd get up on the table and jump around and do everything, but he really made his point. He said that there's really three people in the world, and this is a secular guy. He's, that I know, he's not a Christian. He says the first people are sheep. I said, well, what's wrong with that? Psalm 103 says, we are the sheep of his pasture. That's not a problem. That's a good thing. We're sheep. Matthew 10:16, I'm sending you out like sheep. Be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. And I've seen this in real life, and you probably have too. You've seen a car accident that happens in front of you, and you go, did that really happen? What happened? Did that guy really win? And I've talked to people at an accident scene, and one witness will say, yeah, the blue car hit the red car. Went right through the red light. And they say, well, no, the red car hit the blue car. No, it's the blue car that hit the... They saw it right in front of them, and they still can't say, well, which one happened, because it happened so quickly. I've seen it when somebody pulls a knife at a scene. They'll say, "Oh, Jimmy, yeah, just put the knife down. Hey, Jimmy wants to stick this person," and I got to pull out a gun and say, "Jimmy, put the knife away, or you're going to get shot." So Jimmy puts the knife down. But people are kind of like sheep. They're going, "Oh, Jimmy's going to be fine. I know him. He's not going to do anything. He has a knife." I've seen it also at Disney World, where people are led like sheep. You go down this way. You go down this way. Nobody steps out of the lines because they can't. And you've seen it in the grocery stores, too. Don't you? Everybody lines up and they go. There's only one open, so everybody just kind of stands there and waiting for something else to open over here, but we just keep walking. And we're sheep, and that's okay. I'm not saying that sheep are bad. There's nothing wrong with being a sheep. It's just that most people are sheep. And then Colonel Grossman talked about wolves. He says there's evil in the world today. Might be sociopaths, they might be mentally unbalanced, they could be suicidal, but there's a lot of bad people out there. And in 1984, in California, there was a McDonald's where 22 people were killed. 86, an Oklahoma post office, there was 15 dead. 1999, there's Columbine, which you probably remember, 15 dead. 2006, there's an Amish school in Pennsylvania where 6 were dead. 2007, Westroads Mall in Omaha, 9 people were dead. 2007, Virginia Tech College, there were 33 people that were dead. Kirkwood City Council in Missouri, there's 6 people that are dead. 2009, Carthage Nursing Home, 8 people were dead. 2011, Seal Beach, California, a hair salon, 8 people were killed. In 2012, Aurora Theater in Colorado, where there were 12 people that died. In 2012, Newtown, Connecticut, 28 people were killed. People say, "Well, that's not going to happen around here. We're in a church." 1999, Wedgwood Baptist Church in Texas, 8 people were killed. 2005, the Living Church of God in Brookfield, 7 people were killed. In fact, that's the time that I started bringing my gun to church. Thought it at Brookfield, it's right here. And then 2012, the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, there's 7 people that were killed. There's no safe place. The workplace, a spa, a restaurant, a theater, a nursing home, a school, and even in church. Psalm 140 says, "Rescue me, protect me, keep me safe." Let's look at Psalm 140. If you got your Bibles, open them up, please. "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence." There's men of violence out there. And it's serious. There really are people out there. "They devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day. They have plans to come and harm us." Verse 3. They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent is. The poison of vipers is on their lips. They don't talk sweetness. They talk evil. Verse 4, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from," here it is again, "men of violence who plan to trip my feet." Now, sometimes they probably want to do more than that. They don't want to just trip your feet. They might want to end your life. "Proud men have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path." When these people have come into churches and killed people, they've planned that out. They've even sometimes told people ahead of time, "That's what I'm going to do." People go, "Oh, there's sheep there. That isn't going to happen. He's just talking nonsense." And then when it happens, it's, "Oh, I thought he was never going to. He was such a good boy." Verse 6, "O Lord, I say to you, you are my God. Hear, O Lord, my cry for mercy." And we cry for mercy, Lord. Don't let anybody ever come into our church like that. "O sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, who shields my head in the day of battle." You know, when you get hit, and I've gotten hit, it's okay as long as you don't get hit in the head. Because you can, you know, if your arm isn't working or if you get hit and your legs, but if you get hit in the head, that's where you need the shield, and that's what the Lord is talking about here. Protect my head. Do not grant the wicked their desires, O Lord. Do not let their plans succeed, or they will become proud. Don't let their plans succeed, because we could be dead. Verse 9, let the heads of those who surround me be covered with the trouble their lips have caused. Let it fall on them. If they're thinking about doing stuff, okay, but don't bring it into our church. Let burning coals fall upon them. May they be thrown into the fire, into the miry pits, never to rise. Amen. Never to rise. Don't want them to come back. Stay away from our church. Let slanderers be established in the land. Let slanderers not be established in the land. May disaster hunt down men of violence. Here it is again, men of violence. I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live before you. So he's really saying here, protect me, Lord. There's men of violence out there. There's people that really want to do me harm. Keep me safe from the traps, from the snares, from the nets. In fact, we ask that when you say the Lord's Prayer. You say, deliver us from evil. Right? Okay, so Colonel Grossman, he said, sheep. He said, the wolves. And then the one other ones. It's the sheepdogs. They protect the sheep. Matthew 18:12. That's where Jesus said the one person, they got 100 sheep, and he goes after the one that ran away. And I always thought, what happened to the 99? Who's protecting them? It was the sheepdogs. They were around to protect the 99 until the shepherd came back to all 100 of them. I think at least that's my opinion. Now, what does the Bible say about killing? Well, in society, it's justifiable homicide. Somebody said, yeah, they shot him because he was going to hurt somebody else, or he had to step in to take an action. And that's what police do. But what is it justified in the Bible? The sixth commandment, what does it say? Exodus 20, thou shalt not kill. Everybody said kill, right? If you look it up, that's not what it says. It says murder. Yeah. So what's the difference? Well, for me as a past law enforcement officer, murder is a planned killing. I'm going to have a plan. I'm going to come into the Lamb of God, and I'm going to shoot as many people as I can. That was a plan. That's murder. But as a law enforcement officer, and probably even for military people, you don't plan to go out and say, yep, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, hurt this person. I'm going to kill this person. I'm going to kill that person. No, but you're prepared to do that. You're prepared to say, I might have to take somebody else's life. I might have to take somebody down. I'm not planning to do that. I don't want to do that, but I'm trained for it. And if I have to do it, I do it. But it's not planned. It's not murder. So it was a very telling moment for myself in law enforcement to say, you're right, Lord, I'm not going to murder somebody. I'm not planning to do this. But if I have to, I can. You have to be prepared to take a life. And it's preparing. Not planning, just prepared to do that. So what if a gunman comes into our church? First thing is, well, it won't happen here. One of the kids said, well, God will protect us. I hope he does. I really do. Somebody said, well, you know, God will protect us. I said, okay, that's true, but we still have to plan for it. It's like insurance on the church. You say, well, our church wouldn't burn down because God will protect us. Well, then why do we have insurance? Well, just in case. We got insurance on Bruce for his counseling. In case he gives a wrong word to somebody, somebody's going to sue us. Well, that would never happen because we're Christians. And well, no, that's why we have insurance for that, just in case that happens. So what do we do as a congregation if somebody comes into the church armed and wanting to do us harm? Well, first thing somebody says, well, we'll play dead. Well, let's see. If I was a gunman and I came into a church and everybody went, oh, boom. Like, wait, how did that happen? I don't think that's a realistic possibility. You got to plan for it. Maybe rehearse it. But you have to talk about it as a family. One of the things that we're going to do and have done is we lock the front door at about 10:20. Well, why would we lock the door? Well, if a gunman's going to come in here, first thing he thinks is it's an open church. He's going to yank on the door. Somebody's going to see him, and it's going to give us a few more seconds before he actually comes in. So yeah, is it a little bit of an inconvenience if you're late? Everybody looks over and says somebody's coming in late. But it also gives us a little bit more of a chance, a little more security. And of course, there's going to be some people that conceal carry in the congregation. Church security will be sitting where they can see someone. Now, we've said that we're going to be sitting someplace over in here, somewhere, so we can see the doorway. And if I see a gunman come in, I'm going to take action. One of the things I'm going to do is get there as fast as I can. Not like this. But I'm going to run. And I'm going to yell, "Gun!" And so you know that there's a gun. Now, if you're sheep, if you're acting like sheep, you're going to go, "What? Did he really say gun? Oh, this must be a rehearsal. Oh, this can't be happening. Nobody else is leaving. What happened?" So don't act like sheep. If I say gun, if one of the people in our church security starts running over to the door and they say gun as loud as they can, that's an indication that it's time to leave. Now they're going to go to the doorway, and they're going to probably scrunch down and get behind something. Not like you do in the movies, you know, where you stand there. All right, those are people that die. You want to get behind something on one side of the door, behind the glass, and if you got to put ammo that way, then they're going to shoot that way. What I suggest is that four rows in the back, go out that door. Yep, there's a door over there. A lot of people don't even know there's a door there. Front four rows here, go out that door. And when I mean go, I mean go. Don't be sheep. "Well, which door are we going to go out of? I don't know if we should go or not. Nobody else is going." And if you have to take someone, take with your family. Talk about it ahead of time so your family knows, hey, somebody yelled gun, we're all going to go out that door and we're going. And if you're a single person and you can take somebody around next to you, grab them and go out the door too. But don't grab somebody that's going to be way over here, because that's just going to waste time. Take someone with you and go out the door. Quickness is going to save lives. Once you're out the door, call 911 if you happen to have a phone with you. If you don't, but don't act like sheep. You're going to walk around, go out to the parking lot, and mill around, and all the sheep are kind of coagulated. But what if I can't stop that person and he keeps coming and he follows you out the door? My suggestion to you is go into the woods, go behind the shed. Go someplace where you can't be seen. This is to save your life. Don't leave and don't go in your car, because if someone calls 911 and says, "Hey, there's somebody shooting in a church," they're going to come and there's going to be a lot of them. And if you leave in your car, they don't know if you're the good guy or the bad guy, so they're going to have to stop you and say, "Hey, who are you?" and put a gun in your face and say, "Get out of the car, let me," and if they have a lot of people leaving, they're going to do that to all the people that are leaving. So don't go in your car and don't leave. Go outside, go behind the garage, go in the woods, hide. If you're in the kitchen or the bathroom or downstairs or in the cry room, stay in there. Keep the door closed. Now, if you're a sheep, you're going to peek out. "What's going on?" Okay, and all you're going to be is a victim. So stay in there. Hide in a closet. Hide in the furnace room. But stay in there. Don't come out. Because all you're going to do is be a target for somebody that comes in through the doors. And don't come back into the church. First of all, you don't want to see the mess here, and you don't want to expose your children to that. You'll remember that for the rest of your life if you do. So once you're out of here, stay out. And don't wait for church security to do something. I might not be able to. I might have a heart attack running over there as I'm saying gun. Or church security, or gun might not work, or all kinds of stuff. If you're a sheep, you're going to go, well, he's going to take care of it. Yep. No, get out of here. Run. Take your wife, your family, somebody next to you, and go out the door. Church security is going to confront the gunman. Not in an open area, but behind something. The gunmen have all planned this, and they've planned to die. So let them. Let them die, not us. Now I'm going to give you some really hard words. Yeah, I mean that. If a friend is shot or if church security is wounded, don't go back and get them. Don't wait. If somebody shoots me, as I'm shooting them and I go down and I'm wounded, leave me. If I die, I'm going to the Lord. I'm done. It's great. And if I don't, I'll be wounded and there's nothing you can do except go over there and be a target for that person that's coming in. So don't come to me. Carol and I have talked about this. I said that, you know, when I carry a gun around and we go to restaurants or even in church, I said, if I go down, don't come to me. Just leave me. And that's tough. That's a hard word. Your friends are there and you can see them and they went down and it's like, well, I want to help them. Yeah, I'm telling you, that might cause you to lose your life. And that's a hard word. It is. So talk about that with your family. Talk about it soon. I know this is hard, but it's life-saving for you and your family. I always remember the lady I named Sue. Lot's wife. I never named her. I named her Sue. Everybody's leaving. Sodom and Gomorrah is going to go. It's just going to be destroyed. Now what does Sue do? She's a sheep. Pillar of salt, right? So my suggestion is don't be Sue. Don't look back. Don't be a sheep. Now, why would church security want to do this? Well, it's because of John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Here, my friends, I don't plan to lay down my life. But if I have to, I will. I'll do that for you. And so will the other people in church security. And it's a tough word, but it is. That's what we'll do. At least one person at every service is going to be armed. We have a schedule out. Somebody's going to be here. You don't know who they are, and that's good. So you can't point them out and say, ooh, you're going to do it. Go ahead. No. If somebody yells gun, go out the door. Don't worry, and we'll try and handle it the best we can. So talk about this with your family. Leave quickly. Don't act like sheep. Remember the children of Israel at the Red Sea. You know, there was the sea in front of them. There was the Egyptians in back. And I'm sure they were praying, Lord, rescue me. Take me out of here. You got to help me. And he did. But what did he do? He didn't go poof and the Egyptians just kind of disappeared. He made a path for them. He opened up the Red Sea and they went. But there was an action. They had to take action and walk through the Red Sea. And I'm saying the same thing for you. If a gunman comes in here, you got to take action. Don't be like sheep. Now, if you've got questions about this, please see me afterwards. I'll try and answer anything that you have for it. But I mean this as seriously as I can say that I don't want anybody to be hurt. I don't want anybody to be killed. When you're in church, this should be a place of peace, a place of worship. But as we know, our world is changing. And people have come into buildings, have come into restaurants, have come into churches and killed people. Now, it might happen never. It might happen in a year from now. We're not going to practice this. I'm not going to be running around calling gun every time so everybody leaves. But if it does happen, I want you to know what to do to protect yourself, to protect the church. Protect your family. Let's pray. Father, you You know what the future holds. We seek your mercy, Lord, in this place, that this is a place of peace, a place of worship, a place where we can come in safety, Lord. So I'd ask your protection on this house of worship today, and every time we meet here, every time that there's a meeting here, every time that people are gathered in your name here, Father, that you would put out your angels to guard and protect the building here and the people here, Lord. Don't ever let a gunman come in here, Lord. But if they do, help us to be prepared to not act like sheep, to do what you want us to do to protect ourselves so that we can continue to do your work here on earth. We thank you, Lord, that there are people that do want to protect this place, this house of worship. And I thank you, Lord, that you're always on the throne, that everything that happens in our lives flows through your hands. We continue to ask for mercy on this place, in our lives, in our homes, and wherever we are. We seek your face, Jesus. We seek your mercy. Keep us from men of violence. In your name, Lord.